Tonight's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. This is the message. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband.
Thanks, Krista. As we start this fireproof series, I just want to give you a little bit about the movie. The movie centers around a married couple, Caleb and Catherine. They've been married for 7 years, and they are going through a difficult time. Obviously, you saw in the clip, they are ready to go their separate ways. And Caleb's dad decides to dare him to do 40 days of loving things towards his wife and to see what that does to their relationship. And we'll all have to come to the movie tonight to find out what that does to her relationship. This was a movie that was a major theatrical release, but it was up against the Bond movie, Quantum of Solace. It was up against Madagascar, you know, these multi-million dollar blockbusters. So it didn't get a whole lot of play. The good news is I read one article that said every weekend of the first several weekends, each weekend it made more money than it cost to make the movie. So they were doing all right, and as far as Christian movies in the mainstream go, this did really well. And we have heard story after story in our congregation of people who said that they went to see the movie and it did affect their relationship with their spouse. Now, this centers around a married couple, but we're not going to spend 6 weeks talking about marriage, I promise. Even today's supposed to be one of the marriage messages, but we're not going to do a lot of that. We'll spend some time on that, but to me, the principles that it talks about for getting along with one another are principles that work in marriage, but they work with every relationship that we have, with every person that we come into contact with, and learning to appreciate one another for where they are. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, I just thank you for this time that we have to be together in your presence, and pray that you will open our ears, open our hearts, and open our minds that we might truly hear your word spoken to us this evening. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The world is getting smaller and smaller via the internet. You can go online and find people just like you. No matter how quirky or how different you might think you are, there are people around who have the same thing, like the same things that we do, are annoyed by the same things that annoy us, that think the way we think, do things the way we do them, share our politics, our theology, our problems, our jobs, our successes, and our failures. If we Google something about ourselves, no matter how random, we'll probably find somebody who's similar. Just for fun, this isn't me, but I thought of three random things. I thought of Methodist, Star Trek, and Chipotle. I put those three things in. I Googled him. I got a guy. A guy who works in the tech department of a church. No, it's in Florida, but it must be somebody he was probably really close to. Nick's not a Trekkie. But some guy's profile to his church mentioned all of those things. He's a Methodist, he's a Trekkie, and he likes Chipotle. If you go on Facebook and spend any time on Facebook, you see these ridiculous groups that people are part of. Now, I know the fan groups. There's band fans, and there's the Calvin and Hobbes fan club. But listen to some of these. One of the groups says, I use my cell phone to see in the dark. It has 635,000 members. There's another one, people who always have to spell their names for other people. 429,000 members. I flip my pillow over to get to the cold side. 790,000 members. And one of my, that somebody invited me to was, I am ridiculously United Methodist. That has only 1,500 members. But there are these groups along the way of how you can be a part and find people who are very much like us. But how boring it is to just spend our time with people who are just like us. There's no growth possible when we surround ourselves with those who are very similar to us. And I don't know about you, but when you listen to talk radio, I think there's no real challenges here. Everybody listening and calling into this radio show, they all agree. They're just cheering each other on most of the time and getting everybody on the same page. We tend to do that also. We read books by people we agree with. We go to classes who are going to tell us things we already know and agree with. And we even listen to sermons with people we like because they think something like us. We miss opportunities at times to be challenged and to grow and to hear a different perspective, to be forced to rethink our position on anything. So what's that have to do with our relationships? Sometimes I think we try so hard to mold people to be just like us instead of appreciating the differences in them. I, this morning, remembered this scene from Seinfeld to share with you, and maybe you remember this too. Jerry comes into his home one day after being in the diner with Janine Garofalo, his new girlfriend, and he says, I think I'm in love. And Kramer says, oh, come on. Jerry says, no, it's true. This woman saved my life. I was crossing the street. I was almost hit by a car, and then we talked, and the whole thing seemed like a dream. Kramer says, if a guy saved your life, you'd be in love with him too. Jerry, no, this woman is different. She's incredible. She's just like me. She talks like me. She acts like me. She even ordered cereal at a restaurant. We even have the same initials. Wait a minute. I just realized what's going on. What? Now I know what I've been looking for all these years. Myself. I've been waiting for me to come and sweep myself off my feet. Oftentimes we think along those lines that we want people to be just like us so that we can, that we see as compatibility, but it's the differences that make life interesting, that help us to grow. My mom and dad, as my dad used to like to tell the story of how when they first got married, that when they cooked together after first being married, my dad likes things rare and my mom's likes things well done. And he would often say that his dinner was cold before my mom decided that hers was done because they took his out of the oven the way he liked it. Simple things, not important, but the things that make us different, that make things more exciting. If you were with us last spring, you may remember our Love and Respect Conference, where the basic premise of Dr. Emerson Eggerich's work is based on the last sentence of the scripture that Krista read for you tonight, Ephesians 5:33. In the Message, it says this: this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. The NIV translates a little differently, and yeah, it's up there on the screen. He says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Eggerich notes that the Bible doesn't tell the wife to love her husband, nor does it tell the husband to honor or respect his wife. Why? He says, because we need different things. Men, he tells us, most need to be respected to fill them up and to feel good about themselves, and women most need to feel loved. Conversely, though, he says, women more naturally share love and the men more naturally share respect. And so if we're going to stay where we are comfortable, men just giving respect to one who needs to feel love and women to share the love with the one who needs to be respected. And so the Bible has to tell us, to command us as men to love the women in our lives and to tell the women to respect and honor the men in their lives. We know this is right, right? We know the difference between men and women. There are many differences, many that are obvious. One is in the way that we communicate. I love this statistic, and if you were here this morning, Pastor Bob shared the very same statistic. It comes from Gary Smalley regarding communication differences. He says that studies show that infant girls have more lip and mouth movement than boys, right from the get-go. And then a Harvard study, they studied hundreds of preschoolers, and 100% of the sounds coming from the girls were words. For the boys, only 60% were words. The other 40 were sound effects or yells. Yeah. Does anybody watch Whose Line Is It Anyway, or is it just me? Okay. And they always like to do the sound effect one. And you ever notice you always like to grab women to do that because the women couldn't do the sound effects? And I always wondered why. Well, this is why. We grew up doing it as guys. And it made it quite funny to see people trying to do sound effects who had never done them before. Smalley goes on to say that he says, this difference persists into adulthood. Communications experts say that the average woman speaks 25,000 words a day and the average man speaks only a little over 10,000. What does this mean in marital terms? Very often a man has already used up his 10,000 words at work while the wife is just warming up. And then he goes on to say this, I've asked several thousand women how much time they need to spend with their husbands in meaningful conversation. A wife will say 45 minutes to an hour a day. What do their husbands sitting right next to them say is enough? 15 to 20 minutes once or twice a week. Now I happen to think that's a difference in the definition of meaningful, right? Guys, you know, fixing the roof is meaningful. Talking about what happened at your friend at work, not so meaningful to the men, right? Or, okay, yeah, that was a conversation in my house yesterday about hair that I walked away from to watch football. It comes back to that we are different. I want to back up, though, in this scripture and just back up to the very beginning, because sometimes we get hung up in this, you know, love and respect and women submit to your husbands, and we listen to this verse and we see this very sexist language. But oftentimes, you know what, we just skip the first verse. The first verse of this section, Ephesians 5:21, says this, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Or in the NIV, the more traditional, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This isn't just about marriage relationships, but every relationship that we find ourselves in every day. And for me, the summary of this verse is the title of this sermon, Getting Over Yourself. About submitting to the people in your lives and allowing their well-being, their what they need to be as important to you as what we need, what I need. I think as we grow in Christ, one of the things that we quickly learn is that the earth doesn't revolve around us. Instead, it revolves around Christ. And Jesus, the one we seek to follow, showed us that the best way to live is not when our needs are met, but rather when we are living in the will of God and God's will is being done in our lives and in the world around us. I want to share with you a clip from a different movie. This is not Fireproof. This is Bruce Almighty. This is one of the climatic scenes at the end of Bruce Almighty. And I just share this with you. For those of you that haven't seen the movie or don't remember, Bruce complains to God about how God's not doing things well in Bruce's life. And so God comes, and Morgan Freeman as God comes to Bruce and says, you be God. And he allows Bruce to be God. And this scene that we're going to see is Bruce at the breaking point when he realizes that, boy, this is not what he wants for his life at all.
You win. I'm done. Please. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be God. I want you to decide what's right for me. I surrender to your will.
Am I can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know, I created you.
Quit bragging.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry. And bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about?
Grace.
Grace. You want it back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone who'll treat her with all the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone. We'll see her always, as I do now. Through your eyes.
Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
He comes back. Yeah, it gets a little brutal there for a minute after that. But to me, that redemptive moment, wonderful that it's raining. And Bruce Almighty was written by Christian authors, so the use of water I thought was really amazing in that moment, that it's raining and he's soaking wet. And for me, that's his baptism. I mean, he just stands before God and says, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be God. And that's the prayer that every one of us needs to make in our lives. I don't want to be God anymore. I can't do it. I need you. I want to be in your will, oh God. And the minute he does that and he stands with God, what's changed in his life? It's not about him anymore. He then sees Grace, his girlfriend, in a whole new way, to the point where it's not even about him being with her, but about her being happy. And the relationship is changed because he stopped making it about him. It's about being in God's will. Back to Ephesians 5:21. Three phrases. Out of respect for Christ. Out of respect for the one who gave his life for us. The one who gave his life for the others in our lives as well. The one who calls us to let him be God. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent. Jesus took a towel and a basin and washed his disciples' feet. Jesus told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to do unto others as we would have done to us, and to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Jesus told us that which you did or did not do to the other, you did or did not do to me. Maturity in Christ is about realizing that it's not about us. Our faith is other-focused, about the other people in our lives and serving them. You don't need more people like you in your life. We all need people who will challenge us, teach us, and give us a new perspective. We don't need our partner to be more like us. We need to find out what fills them, love and respect. We don't need to be God. God's already done that and died for us so that He will be our God. We need to stop trying to change the people in our lives so that they can be more like us, and instead find ways that we can meet their needs. This doesn't just happen. It takes some effort. Conscious effort. I saw a book title recently that made me laugh. I have no idea what the book's about, but it said, "Only nuns change their habits overnight." Love the name of that book. But for the rest of us to change our habits, it takes quite a long time. In Fireproof, when Caleb's dad finds out that Caleb is contemplating ending his marriage, he challenges his son to take 40 days to work intentionally on his marriage, to do something every day to show his wife how much that he loves her. And so each week throughout the series, we are going to conclude with some practical challenges for us to do throughout the week ahead. And to that end, we have some up there. If you're a husband, reflect on what you can do to make your wife feel loved and then actually do it. And wives, reflect on what would make your husband feel respected and then do that. And for all of us, how can we love the females and respect the males in our lives? And how can we serve the people around us, fill them, and share the love that we've received from Christ with them? Let's pray together. It seems so counterintuitive, God, because we've been taught for a really long time to take care of ourselves first. And yet you tell us to die to self so that you can live in us and through us. You tell us that to worship you, we should serve others. You tell us that it's not about our will being done, but about your will being done in our lives. And God, we know that your will is far superior than anything we could do on our own. But still we fight, and still we struggle. God, may we once again pray Bruce's prayer and just remind ourselves that we don't want to be God anymore, but we need you to guide us and direct us, to live in us and through us. And God, give us the courage to live out that faith by being with those around us and meeting their needs, sharing with them and loving them. God, guide us and direct us in all of our relationships that we might be a beacon of your light and your goodness, your love and your joy in the world all around us, with the people we know well and the people we are in relationship with for only a few moments. Challenge us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.